All right, couple announcements. The deacons meeting is September 24th, and the Lord's Supper is October 29th. Also, you saw the ladies' lunch reminder here on the bottom, or excuse me, ladies' dinner. That'll be on September 16th, and it sounds pretty good, baked potatoes and desserts. That's hard to beat. Simple, good. Anyways, yeah, so don't forget that, and you can RSVP either Edie or Laurie if you haven't yet, so they're taking names to see who will be there so they can get a count. So anyways, I think that's all I have, and we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. All right, here we are on number 21 and 22. Religion or Christianity? Trucking right along, right? Before we get going, let's we always shift a little gear here before we get into the study, and that's for us, that means to confess our sins. We don't do that to a person, but we do it directly to God the Father. He's always faithful and just to forgive us those sins, and He's also gracious enough to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So an amazing grace gift that He's given us, and we can do that. I know you take advantage of it, and I do too when we can, when we think about it. And we'll do that now, and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You so much for the grace plan that You have laid out in front of us. We don't always realize what we have, but we know that it's there, and we're just thankful to be able to be a part of it and also to learn more and more about You, about how You operate, about Your dealings with us, and the fact that You love us so much that we just desire to grow in that relationship even more. We thank You. And we ask today that we can concentrate in a way that is meaningful in our own lives. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, 21 and 22. You know, it's one thing about these lessons is you don't want to guess how far we go because you'll probably get it wrong. And I'm talking about myself. If I think it's going to be not a lot, well, then it's always a lot. If I think it's going to be a lot, then it's not as many. So I just gave up on all that and just proceed as the Holy Spirit guides me to go in that direction. And what we left off with was Matthew 23. And that was, and we're not done with that yet, but of course there was a few things that we talked about that needs to be, I think, hit on a little bit more, or at least open up some new areas of that for you in your own personal life. And, you know, it's not an easy subject to talk about all the time because what we're talking about is people, right? We're people. We have a sin nature just like these religious Jews did and just like any person has in God's plan. So the things that we're seeing that they're doing, we have done or we've seen done or we will do, right? It's not a secret that we're capable of these same things that are happening with these specific religious Jews in the Bible, because we see the same thing today over and over and over again. And that's what I'm trying to get you aware of, to see that there's a genuine Christianity and there's also a I guess you could call it a pseudo-Christianity, where, you know, there's a sort of a glaze over of the details, as long as you're doing something a certain way or appearing a certain way, you have, you know, checked that box off. And God doesn't work like that. He wants us to see the details of His Word, and He wants us to break it down to the point where we understand what He's talking about. And apparently these religious Jews didn't understand, right? Because they were living some form of the Christian life. But it wasn't the one that God desired them or us to live. So that's kind of what we're talking about. And if you remember, there was a disconnect. There's a disconnect. There was a disconnect between what they said and what they did. And we know we see that a lot today. We're not always perfect in that area ourselves when we say things, or even the preacher preaching things and he does maybe something else that he preached about last week. But you get the idea. We should be setting the examples if we're going to be living the Christian life, at least the way I think you are. I think it's a concentrated way. I think there's a lot more expected from you. Because you come here, you realize we're here to learn, you realize we're here to study, and you realize we're here to grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ. And part of that means if you're going to grow in a relationship, there should be naturally a result of fruit, of good works, of the believer producing those things that God promises us in that relationship. And we should be a picture of that outside this church. And what we're seeing is that there was a disconnect there. There's a lot of talking, but when it came to the real life experience of are you experiencing that relationship, it wasn't there. And that's what they were doing, just a lot of talking, but they wasn't a lot of living or doing in their lives. So that was a problem. And what that meant, if you remember, and we studied this a while back, is there was no change of mind. There was no transformation of thought. There was no truth coming in to offset the false, and therefore their life wasn't adjusting based on the Word of God. So what happens naturally, if you're stuck in that position, you have to make it up. If there's no change, you have to make up a change. And that's why I was using the word performance, right? The movie performances that they were acting out, because that's really what it is. It's not, and of course it's not a movie, but you get the idea. This is real life. But see the difference between a genuine Christian versus an actor. And don't get me wrong, we're all capable of acting, right? I don't want you to say, oh, I'm immune from that. That's impossible for me to do. No, we're not. We can easily get into the role of seeing ourselves and forming that image just like the Pharisees are in these verses. So we have to be careful of that image that I think our country tries to mold everybody into or place you into. You know, you say one word, instantly things come to mind that kind of puts you into a category. I'm not saying specifically you, but maybe you, right? So are we living up to that image, or are we living up to the image based on God's Word? And that's the difference, because I've got an image in my head that we should be, but if it's disconnected from the Scripture, what kind of image is it? Well, it's just a worldly image on something that may feel good or look good. So there's a lot of images out there, and there's a lot of images that may be good, may be bad, but the reality is if they're not rooted in the Word, that's just a performance. And that's what I'm calling a performance, is an image that is not based on Jesus Christ, the image of who He is, the image of His Word, and living that out. There was a big disconnect there, at least with these religious Jews. So no heart change. Of course, that means to you, no truth coming in. And that has to do with the teaching, what's being taught, how it's being taught, and even on the receiving end. How are we hearing that? How are we receiving that? Are we filled with the Spirit? Are we even a believer? There's a lot of things that come into play when you're thinking about, okay, there's supposed to be a change from here to here outside the doors. There should be, naturally, right? But if there's not, there's something that we have to track down and say, okay, something is not changing, or something is not translating over to outside the double doors, right? And we can track that down. We can find it. But we have to recognize that we have to think in a way that is not subjective. Because as soon as you get subjective with yourself, you tend to start justifying what you're doing, even though it may be wrong. That's exactly what they're doing in these verses, right? Their way of life is right, and no one else can tell them otherwise. We get like that, right? We get self-righteous. Someone tries to tell us how to do something, or, you know, do it this way, or don't do it this way, or change this. Oh, I got it. You know, don't preach to me type of attitude, right? Well, we don't want to get that way in the plan of God, because then you won't change. You can't change. You can't see change. You see the wrong as a right. You're justified in your mind because your self-righteousness says you're right, and don't listen to anybody else. So, and we see that a lot with that disconnect. That's what enters in there. Because you see what's happening here. Whether there's no intake of truth, you could call it what you want, but the reality is it's a rejection of truth and a desire to live in a way that we want to live, or accumulate teachers that we desire to hear, right? Have our ears tickled. Remember those verses? So if we're going to do that, guess what? Self-righteousness is going to creep in no matter what. You cannot beat self-righteousness down with anything other than truth, the Word of God. You can't do it. You have to hear and learn to be able to recognize yourself. To know yourself is a big deal in the Christian life. Realize that. We have to know what sin is. We have to know what it looks like. We have to know who we are as people, know where our weaknesses are, know where our strengths are, know what God is doing on His side towards us. Where's the things that we need at the moment we need them, right? So I think a lot of that has to do with knowing yourself as a Christian. And if you're not learning about who you are as a believer, you're going to have a hard time moving forward, because you're going to have a lot of unanswered questions in your own life. Why is this happening? Why can't I? Why is this way, right? We should at times have those questions answered from Scripture. There is a plan. There is a plan of God that is active as we every day, right? And we have to realize that God is in charge, and God is the one that is pulling the strings and allowing us to be a part of this plan. But at the same time, when you're detached from no life changed, where do you sit? And that's what we're seeing here. So they were going through the motions, and what they were doing was, as long as, let me give you an example on today, as long as you're tied to a church, regardless of what it believes, regardless of all the details, that's where the acting begins. Because if I can be tied to a church and I'm good to go, oh, I'm good. Yeah, I'll go to this church and I'm this denomination. I can't tell you how many people, you can hear it in their voice when they tell you their background and what they are and where they came from, that they're creating that image that they want you to see, and they want you to say, okay, they're good to go with God. They're checked off on that box and they're okay, right? They've created, or they have entered in and created for themselves an image that is detached from Scripture. It's detached. It may sound good to that denomination. It may sound good to this denomination, depending on which one you come from. It may sound bad to this one, too. It may sound very bad to this one. But does it align with Scripture? And that's where we're going, right? Because if it's detached from truth, what kind of image is it? So, and I'm calling it acting because, remember, most of these people that are caught up in these kind of thing, in these kinds of systems, are, some of them are teaching salvation or eternal security is based on them. And therefore, you're forced to act out a spiritual life because your salvation is not dependent on you. So if you start with a lie, you have to live a lie as well. The system has to be made up. If you start on a lie, you have to continue with a lie, because salvation is the core of this Christian life. Salvation is not based on us. It's based on Jesus Christ's work on the cross, which is all rooted in grace, which comes through faith. Remember those key words that we talked about are huge in this study. Grace comes through faith, and that's the only way it can come through. In other words, that's the only way we can receive God's blessings and things that He has for us to do and use in our life, which includes you passing tests. Faith is how all those things come through. And that's simply trusting in the one that is providing, trusting in the one that is giving and us receiving by faith, just trusting. So you may call that easy believism if you want, but I would call it grace. I would call it thank God that He's provided a way for a sinful person to receive something that is perfect and from God and able to live in this in the devil's world with success, right? He has given us that. So anyways, that's why I'm calling it acting. And buying into this system, which, by the way, is a system of impossibility, if you think about the religious Jews, right? What are they on a road to? Destruction. Destruction. They're on a road to, let's say some of the religious Jews in this system did believe. Let's say they accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they were still in the religious system. So they're going to heaven. But think about what they're doing. It's all for show. Remember? They were doing it just to be noticed. Remember that? That was their motivation. So what are they doing? They're setting themselves up for no rewards in heaven. Not only that, but I can verify from Scripture that when we waste time like that in our deeds, we also receive divine discipline. God doesn't appreciate us mishandling the things that He's given us or just setting them on the side, right? Like Paul said, is grace going to increase if sin is going to increase? No, it can't do that. Sin must decrease if grace is going to increase, right? And that means you're living the spiritual life. You're recognizing things in your own life, identifying them, and growing. There is a growth pattern that has to take place in your life. If you become stagnant, you will notice. Things will not begin to flow. Things will not begin to click. Tests will not be passed. It won't be going well. When we get stagnant, we need to recognize that as well. So, anyways, that's a little bit of the background. And then, you know, part of this system is what? Faith is removed. Faith is removed. Completely removed. Well, how can I say that? Because if you have to see it, faith is removed. God isn't a God based on sight. He's a God based on the unseen and based on the conviction that is inside of you towards Him. Right? It's not based on what we can see or what you can do or what you think you want me to see you do. It's not based on that. It's about thinking about what He wants. And He wants you to trust in Him, not trust in me seeing you. And then, you know, you get the idea. You can go really crazy in that area. So you've got a lot of people working on an image of holiness, and that's what we're seeing in Matthew 23 of what that looks like, and you see it a lot today. So here's some of the things that we talked about in these verses. Matthew 23:2, they were making themselves the standard of authority in some area, right? Maybe it was a denomination, maybe it was to the interpretation of Scripture, they were making themselves the standard. I think the difference in religion and Christianity is religion makes the religion the standard. Christianity makes Christ and His Word the standard. Big difference. Oh, well, they don't do that. No, yes, they do. They may not preach about it, but that's the reality, because if we were truly convicted on the standard that Christ sets and His Word, we wouldn't be attached to anything that's man-made that can confuse that standard. Because there's really actually two standards when I enter into a religious system. There's the standards of the religion that I have to uphold that may be okay, maybe not okay, but they're standards, right? And then there's also the standards of the Word that I have to... Hopefully, those come together. The idea is hopefully they do come together. But sometimes, as many times that we've witnessed in our life, they don't all come together. And then you're at odds with seeing people do something that is not in line with what the church says or with what Scripture says. And that's how a lot of people get turned off by whatever they were brought up in or whatever they are used to from growing up in. They see that it isn't as effective as maybe someone preaches about it being. So part of making yourself a standard, remember yourselves a standard. This isn't talking about God making you the standard. This is talking about making ourselves the standard. Part of that means there's an attitude that you tend to look at yourself as the top dog and everyone else as the substandard. That's where the self-righteousness creeps in. We're the standard. Everybody else is below our standard. Well, that's not the Christian attitude about how we view other people in general. It's not the attitude even how we should view other denominations, other churches, other religions. But when you make yourself the standard, you start to view others as substandard. And that is an issue when it comes to the Word of God, because notice there's a detachment there. It's not what the Word of God teaches, but it's what the denomination not necessarily teaches, but it's ingrained and it promotes and it becomes a part of the people within that denomination. So it can be one of those places where you have to be careful, because religion says my religion is the standard and authority when it comes to denominations. That's what it says. Well, guess what? That creates disunity. It creates further separation between the believers in Christ. The Spirit creates unity. That's what the Bible teaches. That's a disunity. And it further separates believers as we think in that way. And we can't place ourselves on a pedestal just because we're in a certain place, we're learning a certain thing, or we're attached to a certain group. Everybody is in the body or not in the body. That's just how it is, right? They're either a believer in Jesus Christ or they're not. And we shouldn't view ourselves as, you know, the standard, as setting the standard. All we can do is teach the Word and learn truth and live in such a way where we may be able to witness when it comes to people involved in those things, or be an influence in their life to where we can set the example, which is basically a witness, right? So there's a lot of directions to go on that. But when you start to say, well, I'm the standard, and you're going into a room, and God is wanting you to use you in that situation, you've already failed that test. Because mentally, if you're not in a right place and you're thinking that, you know, you're seeing, viewing yourself as higher or them lower, that is setting yourself up for disaster. Because not only are we not glorifying God, but the opportunity will be missed to talk to them in humility. Have to have humility. Or to witness to someone that walks in. We lose so many opportunities when we place ourselves on a pedestal. And I'd say that's to anybody, right? Believer, unbeliever. When we have that type of attitude, it's just not good. So anyways, this always includes things like placing yourself in a certain group that is exclusive, or at least exclusive in the person's mind, right? Which brings something called haughtiness with it. We all know what that means, right? Haughtiness. Always thinking of others in a condescending way. You have to ask yourself, I wonder how Christ thought of people that he approached and talked to that weren't on his level. Nobody's on his level. They're just dirty sinners. I mean, if you want to look at it from God's point of view, we're all just nasty sinners, right? Horrible sinners. That's how he should be able to look at us, and he would actually be justified in looking at us like that, because it was a bad decision that man took on ourselves outside of his plan. So we made the first move, not him. He gave grace on top of a bad decision, and let us back in. Think about that. That is absolutely the opposite of something that's condescending. So when you think about somebody is doing something that you may not like or associated to something that you may not like, think about this. God gave you a free grace pass just because we entered into sin and he allowed you a better solution than you came into. Well, allow that person a better solution through you, through your personality, through your spiritual life, through something that you can say or do to be a breath of fresh air in their life. Don't take minus one before you go into a room. Don't take things off of them before you even get there. They're already in the hole. You haven't even talked to the person there in the hole. They haven't even said a word to you, and you're in the hole. But that's that haughtiness that we need to be careful about. But that's what these religious Jews bring with them wherever they go. There's a haughtiness there with it. So Matthew 23:3, the point there is they were saying one thing and doing another. This is just the hypocritical component of religion. I think that's turned a lot of people off too. At least when I talk to them about Christianity in general, they immediately are turned off by hypocrites in the church. And I say, wait. Are you looking at people or are you looking at the Word of God to get your assessment here? Oh, well, I'm looking at people. This is just what I've seen in my personal life. Right. I understand that. But they weren't an example of what's happening here, because if they were, we're required to not be hypocrites and be genuine Christians and set the example as Christ is in the Bible. So people are the problem. The Bible isn't the problem, but there's a lot of people that are problems, right? But still, that turns a lot of people off from God in general. We've seen it. We've seen it many times. And I think sometimes that's a good thing, because they eventually can come back to seeing truth and not looking at through the lens of a person to create the image of whatever that person was creating that eventually turns them off. Now they look to Scripture. They say, you know what, I'm not interested in a person failing. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, or doing this, that. Let's focus on the Word. Let's focus on the accurate teaching of the Word so we can get our image correct. If we're going to get an image, why don't we get it the right one, right? There's so many we can have there. So listen to the definition of hypocrite. Or hypocritical. It means to create a public impression that is at odds with one's real purposes or motivations, an outward show. There's your performance. There's the acting. That's why I was mentioning that, because there is a, you know, hypocritical component of this that comes in that we're not immune to either. We can be hypocrites. We can go to church and profess to be Christians and then do something completely different, not live the Christian life. That's hypocritical. It also means varied forms that pretentious piety assumes. So you can see that placing yourself up on the pedestal, and all of a sudden now you're assuming certain things that really aren't true, that are reality, if you had the humility to see that, but we don't at times. The Greek word for hypocrite means a play actor or a role player, a pretender. Isn't that interesting? Thought that was neat. It means a person who professes beliefs and opinions that he or she does not hold in order to conceal his or her real feelings and motivations. The word actually comes from the word deceiver, which is someone who acts in such a way so that others believe what is not true, right? If I can convince you of something else, well, then I win, because you don't know the real me. You just know the image I've created. Boom, I'm good to go, right? Not really. God sees the heart. So all these things, you can begin to understand why people get turned off. If we're going to be in a system that is from God, it better produce results. Or you're in the wrong church. I mean, honestly, if we're going to be in part of Christianity and we're going to be in a place where we read the Bible and we see all these things that are supposed to be happening, those things should be happening. Or we're in the wrong church. Or the preacher's not preaching the way he should. Or I'm not learning what I should learn. I mean, who's wrong? Is it God or the pastor? It's got to be one of those. And I can guarantee it's not God. So we either need to make sure that we pay attention to the details and that actually will produce a result, or I can always fall back on the individual's responsibility to have a desire for truth. There is a desire for truth. You have a desire for truth. You realize it's not always what you want to hear. We realize it's not always fun. We realize that it's not always refreshing. But in the back of our minds, we know that it's from the Word of God, and we can see it, we can learn about it, and we can grow from it. So see, you actually grow from hearing truth because it's against what you may feel or think. And that's what the world cannot really take. And that's why you're the minority, and religion is the majority, and it will always be the majority. That's why. Because this isn't easy. What you're doing is not easy, right? It's not an easy thing to do, but it is the, I think, most beneficial thing to do, obviously. If you're living in a way that God desires you to live and you're not a hypocrite, I think that's a good thing, don't you? Yes. So all these things that we're talking about go back to no truth. Absence of truth. Then in Matthew 23:4, remember this, they had unrealistic expectations from people, but they don't include themselves in those expectations. We see that a lot. Thinking of some examples, I'm sure you can think of some examples. Always willing to talk about the example, but never really willing to do the example or yourselves, or set the example yourself, right? Say what you preach, or do what you do and say what you preach. That can be really confusing, right? How about do what you preach and preach what you do? That's the best way to do it. And when those are detached, that's when this becomes an issue, because then you're requiring people to, you're expecting people to do something that you're not even doing. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that part of setting the example? If you're going to expect people to do something, shouldn't you also be doing something? I would say yes. You can't expect people to live, solve their own problems, do things in a way that's in accordance with God's word when you're not doing those things. You can't do it. You can preach about it all you want until you're blue in the face, but they say, well, your life's all out of whack and you're preaching to me about these things? It doesn't really make sense to a lot of people. That's why we should be in a position where at least somewhat we're consistent in growth. I'm not saying you're going to have it all right. Don't get me confused. But you can at least say, I'm giving it my best shot. And I think that's a lot. That's a big deal. A best shot for people is different from one person to the next. I get that. I understand that. You all have different things going on in life. Things pull you this way, pull you that way. Giving it your best shot is a individual, personal thing. I understand that. We all can't be, you know, monks up in the mountain and, you know, meditating for 8 hours a day. You can't do it. Right? You can't do it. But at the same time, if you're not consistent, how are you going to expect that consistency from other people? You can't. You're not in a position to. But this haughtiness that these religious Jews were on, that's what they were doing. They were expecting things. And with that kind of attitude, guess what comes with it? Gossip, judging, excluding people, and usually a lot of jealousy too comes with all those things. And then Matthew 23:5, I think the main point in there, their motivation was to be noticed by other people. And my whole point in that verse was that their deeds had zero divine value. That's catastrophic, because that's the purpose of the Christian. That's the purpose of your life, for your life to have value every day of your life. Value means glorify God. Produce fruit. Do things that are meaningful within the plan. Eternal value. Not just value for here, but once you gain them, you keep them. Right? And we'll see a little bit of that here in a little bit. Social position was a priority for these people as well. That was in Matthew 23:6. Part of self-righteousness means that not only do you preach about respect, but you demand it. And they did demand it. Remember, they sat in the chief seats and they desired to be called rabbi. Oh, okay. Rabbi, right? Hey, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. It was very respectful. And, you know, at that time, it was something that deemed a lot of respect. And when you demand respect, these are the kind of things that satisfy the self-righteousness. If you sit in that high seat over here, away from everybody else, look at that guy. Whoa, he's a rabbi, right? And that's what appeases the self-righteousness. So let me just read through this, and you've already been through these, but we're continuing going through these Matthew 23 verses just to show you what we've been through, because these are pretty real verses. They're shocking. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses." There's that standard. "Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them." There's that detachment right there. You've already studied all this. And you remember how broad this deeds is, right? That which displays itself in activity of any kind. Very broad. Anything that they do. It's saying, don't do it. It's detached. "They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger." So when you don't have any change, you're not setting the example, but you're demanding that example from other people. That's burdensome. That can be tough. That can be hard on people. And what does that say about the person demanding them? Well, not a whole lot, apparently. Verse 5, "And they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments." And I showed you a picture of what that looked like. That was funny. So their whole goal was to be noticed. That was their life. Just to be noticed and heard and drop names and be in a picture and be in a certain place and be in a meeting and be known for the donation. They were all about being noticed. That was it. Now, how does God feel about that? Wait a minute. Who are you doing this for? Right? He's probably thinking, well, I gave you all the things to do what you're doing with, and now you're taking full credit for them? That's what was happening. They're taking all the credit just to be noticed. And that's part of the sin nature's desire, is we desire that attention. We do. We're all people. We all have a sin nature. We all have that lust pattern of attention. You know, me, me, me. I want to be on the top, right? Look at put the spotlight, right? That's how we desire at times. And we can get ourselves into serious trouble when we do that, because we're not glorifying God. And also, we're not living in a way that is pleasing to Him. So there's that disconnect. It just continues, right? So that can be dangerous. And then you have verse 6. "They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues." So They were paying for those church seats, right? They were paying for those ones right up front. Or maybe they weren't paying for them. Maybe they were just, they were respected enough where they were saying, just sit here. I'm not saying these are, you can't sit in the front seat. I think they're all the same, last I checked. But actually, these are probably more comfortable because the pad's less pushed down on them. I guarantee you, you should try them. They're probably a lot more cushiony. Those are all, especially the ones right in the middle there, they're probably flat. But this is what they liked, and this is what they desired. And when you desire and like these things, you built a lifestyle around these things. It's the visual effects of the movie. It's not just being a good actor. You got to have good props. You got to have a good set. This is part of that set. When I say acting, I'm not kidding. I'm not saying just the person. I'm talking about everything in your life is meant for something for other people to see or form an opinion about you that has something to do with that image you're trying to create. And this was one of those things. It had to do with a seat. Place of honor. And then verse 7. This is what they liked. And respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of titles out there. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but there's sometimes where you can tell that a person has a title and they really like that title a little bit too much. They just hang their hat on that title, right? It's like almost like they went all through that just to get the title. Because I guarantee you, I've seen a lot of stupid doctors and I've seen a lot of smart doctors. And you've seen the attitude of those coming both together. Some seem to do it just for one reason. Well, if we're doing it just for the reason to build that image, that's an issue, right? That's detached from the Word of God. Or if we're just doing it just to be called so-and-so, well, what are we doing? Are we glorifying God? No, we're glorifying self. Goes back to where that is. You got to at least give them, they've stuck it out to at least get the title. I mean, that says something, right? But why the motivation is what I'm talking about here. So, verse 8, moving right along. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. So this is a verse that we haven't talked about. And this is an important verse. Because what I'm seeing here is three words that have capital letters on them. Teacher, Father, and leader. And you can actually see what Jesus is doing. He's taking away the human component and he's putting the focus on the true teacher, the true father, and the true leader. So this is what we'll talk about. We'll take a break. It's a good place to stop. And then we'll come back and do it again. So let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for this congregation. Thank you for their being receptive. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for them just seeing truth and just sticking with it, because I know the end result is only things that are better in their personal lives and just things in the overall plan that you desire for them. I thank you so much and ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.